How y'all doing this morning? Good. You never really know somebody until you've had that umpire coach relationship with them. I want to say about Scotty how much he means to me. How encouraging it is to see somebody, a pastor, that is out with our kids in the community, somebody that that stands on truth, and somebody that y'all are lucky to have. Oh, I just want you to know that. So, thanks again. Scotty's already asked me twice this morning if I was nervous. I said no. But I want to thank y'all for allowing the Gideons to come into your church and be a part of your community. As Scotty said, my name is Jake Davies. I've been a member of our local Gideon camp here for going on 2 years. And I got two questions this morning, which most of you, I hope, know the answer to, and I'm fairly positive you do. But the first one is, what's the most important decision that we'll ever make in this life? And we know that the answer to that is accepting Christ as our Savior, right? The second question is, how do we gain the knowledge and the understanding of Christ once we've accepted His free gift? Through His Word. And that's it. You know, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does Romans 10:17 say? It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So right there, you know, we've got, you know, these two verses are crystal clear on the importance of God's Word and the urgency to share it with as many people as we can. This is why we as Gideons are here, and we're here as an extension of your church. And this is what we've been called to do. Our, you know, Gideons were business or professional men, except for clergymen, who've been given the honor and privilege of providing copies of God's Word to as many people as we can. We place testaments in schools, colleges, prisons, jails, motels, hospitals, halfway houses. We give them to first responders. We give them to our men and women that serve our great country in the armed forces. And we've been doing this since 1899. Before I go any further on that note, did y'all notice the first place that I said that we handed out these testaments? I said schools. And I just want to let y'all know, I spoke in a church over in Rabun County about a month and a half ago, and every time we go to a different county, they give us a stat sheet on what Bibles have been handed out and where for that county, you know, the Gideons in the county. And we handed out way more Bibles here in Union County than they did in Rabun County. But the number that really jumped out to me when I saw their stat sheet was they handed out like 750 Bibles in Rabun County schools last year. You know how many we handed out in Union County schools? Zero. And there's a reason for that. They won't let us in there to hand them out. And we used to go to the fifth grade all the time, and Brother Bobby Brookshire, y'all know him, he's the big tall guy with a bald head sitting up here in the front. He spoke last week at First Baptist Church and brought up this, and I'm so thankful for bold men of God like Bobby that brought this up, because it's something that we need to address as citizens and community, you know, in our community. You know, our kids, if we're not getting the Word of God into their hands, we're failing them. We're failing them. And whatever we have to do, you know, another thing that Scotty and I were talking about earlier, and I'm so thankful, like I said, for Scotty, and I know my preacher, Jonathan Hood, did it last week. Scotty did it a couple of weeks ago. Went and I think y'all had the football team before the game, and I know Scotty prayed with them. I know Jonathan prayed with them. But any of y'all that attend football games, if y'all noticed, they're not praying before a football game anymore. That's another thing, you know, and it's up to us as Christians. We're called as disciples of Christ to make sure that these things happen. And I'm not up here preaching to y'all about that, but it's something that y'all need to be aware of. We need to be aware of as the people of Union County that are standing up for Christ. But that being said, I just want to share that with y'all. But to go on, like I said, we've been doing this for a long time, since 1899. That's 126 years. That's a long time. We're organized internationally in over 200 countries and publish scripture in over 108 languages. However, none of this would be possible without donations from believers and churches just like this one. It's only through y'all's giving that we're able to purchase and distribute the scriptures that we do. 100% of the money donated goes to buy Bibles. We don't get paid to do this. I've had people ask me that, but us as Gideons, and y'all have got Marvin that's a member of your church here, and like I said, Bobby's here this morning, and I appreciate y'all's support. Miss Peggy's in the auxiliary. You know, we donate our time for this because it's important to us to get God's Word out there. And, by God's grace, we placed over 68 million scriptures last year worldwide. And that's about two Bibles every time your heart beats. That's a lot of Bibles. On a local level, our Blairsville camp, we distributed over 3,000 scriptures last year, and we took in over $60,000 in donations from churches around the county. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of Bibles. As a relatively new Gideon, my favorite time for handing out Bibles has been at Vacation Bible School, and I know y'all have that here. Seeing the excitement in a kid's eyes when they get this first little one, the little orange ones we give out, that's priceless, you know, when you get to see that. The faith and hope of knowing that perhaps one day that piece of scripture might lead that child to Christ makes what we're doing worth it. And, Isaiah 55:11 tells us that what God's word will not what return void, and that is we've all seen Bibles that, you know, whether at thrift stores, we've seen them stuck on the shelf. I've seen piles of them, and you know what? God will see that His word gets in the right place at the right time. I've actually at home, I didn't bring it, because it's so old, and it when you open it up, it just falls apart. But I've been a Gideon about 2 years. Well, about a month after I joined the Gideons, my dad called me up, and he said, "Son," he said, "I've got a Bible for you that I want you to have." And he said, some of my family up in Ohio, and it was my great-great-grandmother's Bible, and it was, I think the date on it was 1895 or 1896, and that Bible had been stuck back. There's no telling how long, where it'd been, but it made it, God saw to it that it made it down here to me so I could tell y'all about it, so I could share that story of how God's Word does not return void, how it gets where it's supposed to get, and that's what the Lord does. I want to share with y'all before going any further. Like I said, we always get a stat sheet, and just to let y'all know some of the places that we handed out Bibles in the county last year, we handed out at over 30 churches 1,250 Bibles to kids last year during Vacation Bible School. We handed out 150 at the 4th of July fireworks show at Meeks Park. We handed out a little over 500 at the Indian Summer Festival and at the Sorghum Festival last year, apiece. We handed out 187 to nurses and medical offices, 38 at nursing school. We did get to hand out 100 at the baccalaureate service last year to the outgoing seniors, which was good. We handed out 50 at the Union County Nursing Home, 50 at the Sunrise Nursing Home, and then of course we keep them stocked in the motels around the county, and we give them to the funeral homes as needed for if there's somebody that's passed and has a family member that might want one. So, that we're getting them out there, but we still got a lot of work to do, and that's. And I tell y'all all this to really drive home the importance of the job that we've got ahead of us as Gideons, and not only as Gideons, as brothers and sisters in Christ, period. We've got a crisis. We've seen a lot just in the last couple of weeks in our country, and not only in our country, but around the world. There are so many in need of a Savior. And there's so many being led astray. Be so thankful that you're in a church where the gospel's preached. And I know Scotty, and I know that's what there's so many that don't have that luxury, and we're lucky where we're at to have churches that we can go to where the gospel's preached. But we got to take a stand. God's word is the only truth that we can stand on. Luckily, like I said, we have several avenues through the Gideons to fight this insurmountable battle. Y'all seen the Gideon card rack that's in the back of your church. That's a great way to give or donate. I want to tell y'all, my wife wanted me to I'm married to Jody Mull. Yes, some of y'all might have went to school with her, know her. I was up at 7 this morning hunting Fennigan. She was sick. I was trying to get her some medicine in her, but she wanted me to apologize for her not being here with you, with us this morning. But, like I said, Jody's stepdad passed away, Bruce Dillinger, there a couple of weeks ago, and I had several people come to me that, gave me money to buy Bibles with. And what a great way to honor somebody, or to share their memory. I can't think of a better way than to have Bibles bought in their honor. Like I said, we've got several ways you can donate. We use the money to buy these little PWTs. They're about a $1.30 a piece now, and the big Bibles like we put in the motels and the nursing homes and hospitals, they're a little over $5 each now. But that, you're not going to find anywhere else that you can buy a copy of God's Word for $5 and get it out into circulation except through the Gideons. We've also, and this one's free. We've also, and I think there's a stack back there, we've got these cards that have this QR code on the back. And what it is, it's a Gideon Bible app. And you can download it on your phone. I'm still not real sure how QR codes work, but my wife usually handles that. I know you got to take a picture or something, but anyway. but like I said, it's a great way. I use that. As far as when I'm doing my studying and reading and stuff, because I don't have to cut the light on in the morning. I can hit my phone and pull up whatever, wherever I'm reading. And it's pretty cool. And it's, you know, I only speak one language, but it does come in over 2,000 languages. So we also have a program that's called the Friends of the Gideons that allows you to buy Bibles, buy boxes of Bibles that can be handed out in places of business or by individuals. And I'm pretty sure that's probably what avenue that the Gideons took when they placed the Bibles in over in Towns County, like Scotty was talking about. We do provide Bibles for stuff like that, and you know, like I said, the key thing is any way to get God's Word into circulation. I mean, that's our main goal. That's all of our main goal, is to get God's Word out there. And you know, the last thing I want to mention before I go into another area here is I want to talk about, we've got this, the Gideons have this this thing, it's called Project Ignite. And what it is, it's a partnership between the Gideons and pastors, and what it is to encourage new membership. And I know, I don't know all the pastors in our county. I know a handful of them, but the ones that I do know are very supportive of the Gideons. And they, we lost over half the Gideons worldwide when the pandemic hit. That's a lot. That's a lot of people, a lot of men that passed during that. So, you know, like I said, if y'all know somebody that would be interested in it's a great ministry. And I tease a lot of the fellas, because I'm one of the younger. I'm 48. I'm one of the younger Gideons. We've got, I think, one other guy that's younger than me, but the rest of them are up in their 70s and 80s. And I tease them. I say, you know, you want to live a long time, be a Gideon. I said, the Lord will keep you around. He'll use you just as long as you're willing, you know. excuse me. The last thing that, and I know y'all heard a lot of, you know, if you've been going to any church, any one church for a period of time, usually the Gideon that's speaking, he'll share, testimonies of how God's Word got into somebody's hands and how it changed their life. And that, you know, they'll share the testimonies of, you know, and I've heard some great ones. And there's so many different ways that God's Word changes people's lives, but they all their lives are changed to point towards Him. And I don't have any of those testimonies with me, but I have my testimony. And if y'all have got a few minutes this morning, I'd like to share it with you. Scotty said, you got the whole service this morning. I was like, well, we'll be out of here by at least by 2:00. And I said, that's not too bad. Like I said, Scotty, I always jump at the chance to share my testimony, because what better way do we have as Christians to show God's power than our testimony? You know, and our testimony, our testimony is, everybody's testimony is usually in three parts. You got what you were like before the Lord, you got what happened when the Lord saved you, and you got what your life's like since the Lord saved you. And unfortunately with mine, most of mine is the first one, but the best part's the last part of what the Lord has done with me since He saved me. And so, like I said, I want to share this with y'all. But just to start out, growing up, I went to church. I was there every Sunday. I grew up in Hazleville. Went to First Baptist Church. My name's on a pew over there. I think Mama when they built a new church, had donated some money to them, and they put mine and my sister's name on the pew over there. But, you know, when I was about 11 years old, I thought I got saved. And come to find out later, it was just an emotional experience I'd had. And, you know, but I'll talk more about that later. But, you know, growing up, I was a pretty normal kid. My dad was a principal at the high school over there. My mom taught fourth grade. I didn't get in a lot of trouble, because if I did, they knew about it before I did when I was at school. You know, but things were pretty normal, you know, growing up. I went, got out of high school. I played sports in school and enjoyed that. And but, you know, I got out of school and went to trade school, and but learned how to be a plumber. And I began to, during this time, I started experimenting with alcohol. Started it. That led to marijuana, and then that led to some other things. And that was the start of a about the next 25 years of my life, that a battle that I would fight, and I fought addiction for a long time. And you know, I was it snuck up on me. I wasn't real sure, you know, when I, and that's why it's so important. I don't remember your name, but we were talking about it in Sunday school this morning, how important it is. Not that I wasn't led right by my mom and dad, but how important it is to be a positive influence with your kids, because they it only takes just stepping off the right path just for a second, and somebody will go through what I went through for a long time. But like I said, I battled addiction from the time I was about 18 or 19 until about 5 years ago. I went through a lot. When things started getting bad, was back in probably in, it was around 2002 or 2003, and I'd gotten pretty bad on methamphetamines, and was doing a lot of things that I shouldn't be doing. And it got to the point to where I couldn't afford it anymore, so I started selling it. And of course, it didn't take long. The sheriff's department showed up and kicked my door in, and you know, I was in jail. That was the first time. And you know, just to back up a little bit, I'd gotten out of plumbing school, and I went and got my plumbing license in North Carolina, and had been working and had my own business and built a house and all this by the time I was, you know, 22 or 23 years old. You know, the Lord blessed me, even though I didn't really know Him. He was making things happen in my life and giving me opportunities, but I wasn't taking them. I was focused on me, and we all know where that ends up with anybody. Like I said, I got locked up, and that was the first time that the Lord really tried to get my attention. And I'd sat in jail for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, and you know, there were preachers that would come and guys that would come and sing, and you know, I knew who Jesus Christ was. I knew what He had done, but I had never sought that personal relationship with Him. I'd never turned my life over to Him. And you know, when I was in jail that first time, those guys would come, I'd sing right there with them, buddy. I'd listen to them read the Bible. I thought, you know, I was like, man, I got this thing figured out. But I hadn't turned it over to Him, you know. And that's why it's so important for us to realize now, We have to have that personal relationship with Christ. So, moving along, I was probably 24, 25 when this happened. So, you know, like I said, the next thing I know, during this first rough road, next thing I know, I'm 28 years old. I got three kids by three different women. I'm living in a halfway house that's 300 miles from anybody that I know or anybody I've ever been around. And I'm looking at a 14-month jail sentence for the dope that I got caught with. And, you know, I got that behind me, though. I got that behind me. I thought, you know, I went to jail. I did that time, and I thought I had it figured out. But I wasn't willing to surrender totally to Christ at this time. You know, I'd gotten married to my son's mother, and was going to church, but I wasn't. I just hadn't surrendered. And a lot of y'all been there. You know what it's like. I was a weekend Christian. I was a weekend guy. I was at church when the doors were open and didn't leave till I was the last one out of the parking lot, but I hadn't surrendered my life to Christ. So, like I said, this was around 2007 or 8, and everything was going good. The Lord was giving me more opportunities. He had, you know, my family life was good. I was living in Robbinsville at the time. I was coaching baseball, coaching football. The Lord was giving me all kinds of platforms that I could have been sharing Him with kids, with parents, with all kinds of people. And I wasn't taking advantage of it. You know, I was prospering according to the world standards. I'd started plumbing again. I was making plenty of money, build a new house, driving new trucks, all the things that most people measure how good we're doing in this world by. I had it, you know, I had everything. But I was so far, this rocked on till up till 2014 or 2015, but I was so far out of God's will, I didn't have a relationship with Him. I wasn't willing to slow down long enough to get a relationship with Him. I wasn't on the hard drugs anymore, but I was still drinking. I was still doing a lot of things that I shouldn't been, and I was not doing a lot of things that I should have been doing for the Lord, because He had really taken care of me, you know. But so around 2015, let me back up just a second. I went through a divorce in 2012 with my son's mother. So it was just me and my son. I had him by myself, and my girls. I was getting them on the weekends, and which was a blessing in itself, you know. But I couldn't see that. I didn't have. You know, Scripture tells us how we get scales over our eyes, and I had plenty of them. But in 2015, I met the second greatest gift that God ever gave me, besides my salvation, and that was my wife Jody that I'm married to now. We were married in 2016, but unfortunately, I wasn't what she had signed up for. Things were starting to get bad again, and for the next 4 years, Jody and my kids would endure the unimaginable. In this time period, I'd become an adulterer. I'd become an IV drug user. I was a chronic gambler. I was a sex addict. I was a thief, and I was a liar. I had no cares. I had no inhibitions. I had no respect for myself or anyone else. I'd piled up a bunch of of criminal charges, and was looking at a pretty long stay in prison. During this time, I overdosed twice and died and was brought back. I got shot with an AR-15 in the leg, and the Lord didn't take me then either. The Lord wasn't done with me. I'd been in and out of jail over this period of time, over a 2 or 3 year period, and I still had a little money. I'd bond out, get back in trouble, and bond out, get back in trouble, and I finally I ran out of money, and I turned myself into the sheriff's department over in Hazel. I'd been on the run for 2 or 3 months, and they booked me in on under $1 million bond. I didn't have that. So my life at this point was fixing to change dramatically one way or another. I started, you get in there and you know, you don't have anybody. You don't have somebody to turn to. You don't have anybody. And that was, sometimes the Lord puts us in places where we have no opportunity but to turn to Him. And I'm so thankful for that. So this was, like I said, this was in around, I think 2018 or so. I was in there, I had a bunch of charges. I was looking at a long stay in prison this time. And I got COVID, of course. You're in squeezed in cells with a bunch of people that are coming from all different places. It's not hard to do. So, but the jail's way of taking care of that is they quarantine you. So they put me in a cell. It didn't have a TV in it, and the only thing they'd let me take in there was a Bible. And I'm pretty sure it was placed in that jail by Gideon. And I'm so thankful for that. But while I was in that cell, I was in there, and I was reading in John, and I was reading about, how Christ had paid for my sins with His work on the cross. And when I was reading that, I thought about my son, and how when he was just a little baby, I'm talking firstborn, when I first laid eyes on him, I thought about how I'd have done anything to protect him. I'd have done anything to make sure that he was safe, and done anything, I loved him so much. And I was sitting in there reading that, and when that thought came through my mind, just as clearly as I'm sitting here talking to y'all right now, God's Word spoke to me. And He said, I felt the same way about my son, and I gave him up for you. And that was it for me. God showed me what I was. I realized for us to know how holy God is, we have to know how bad we are. And He showed me right then, and He showed me my need for a Savior, and He showed me that He was willing to do that for me. As bad as I was, still in my sin, He showed me that He was willing to do that for me right there by myself, just me and Him in a 8x12 cell. And I'm so thankful for that. For the first time in my life, I was free. And I was still in jail, but I was free. And that's a feeling, anybody that's been saved knows what that feels like. So, for the next 14 months, I stayed in that jail. I was awaiting trial, but things were different. I didn't, not going to say they were always easier, but they were different. And I had the peace that Christ offers to fight the daily battles that we all fight. So on the day of my trial, like I said, I've been sitting in there for 14 or 15 months. But on the day of my trial, I was willing to accept anything that whatever God's will was, I was willing to accept it. If I was going to prison, I was going to go to prison with the Lord, and I was going to share what He had done for me with whoever was put in my life. And didn't work out that way, as far as going to prison, because I had my lawyer came and he said, look, the judge that was here yesterday told me you were going to prison. I don't know why, but he got sick or had car trouble or something. We got a different judge this morning, and they said, he asked me, he said, you want to go home? And I said, yeah. So I ended up getting a suspended sentence and about 40 years of probation, which is, probation's easy if you're doing what you're supposed to. but that day when that happened, I'd been somewhere that I was safe from everything in the world that had ever caused me trouble. We know once we're saved that Satan can't pluck us out of God's hands. But what he can do is control our environment. And, he can control what goes on around us in the world. And I was fixing to go back out into that world. Of course, I had the Holy Spirit in me this time, but it was still scary. And, I didn't have a job. I didn't have any money. I didn't have a driver's license. But I had Jesus Christ this time. And I was excited about that. When I was in jail, this one of the preachers that would come and see us, he said, there's only one way that you're going to make it when you get out of here. He said, you're going to have to find a church where the gospel's preached every Sunday. He said, you're going to have to find a church family. He said, and you're going to have to be there every time the doors are open. Well, it's been about 5 years, and I don't reckon the doors at Youngstown Church have been open, and I've not been there unless I've been somewhere else speaking, and I firmly believe that. I'm thankful for the doors that God's opened for me through that. They even gave me a key for the church over there, and if they'd have known me 5 years ago, they wouldn't give me a key for their push mower, but I've got to let y'all know this is the last part of the testimony, and this is the good part. This is the part that gives God glory for what He's done in my life, is, not only being able to be a part of the Gideons. I mean, God's blessed. He's blessed my marriage. He's fixed my marriage. Jody put up with me for a long time. I'd have killed me. I just in my sleep. But God's fixed my marriage. He's fixed my relationship with my children. He's allowed me I teach a Tuesday night class at our church that for anybody that's battling addiction, or it's a men's study. I get to teach Sunday school, and I love that. God has just blessed me so much. He's blessed me by being able to meet the kind of people that I've been able to meet, like Scotty, or people that I see around town, not just in church. You know, God puts godly people in my life now, because He knows that I'm still not strong enough to be around, to be around a lot of people. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for the doors that God's opened up for me. It's a true blessing, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be able to share my testimony with y'all, and it's just it's an honor to be able to stand before you as a sinner saved by grace, and I'm just so thankful. I love y'all.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We're located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.